happy to be here. I'm thankful to the organizer for the invitation to the workshop. My talk today is based on joint work with Rod Stocker from University of Winnipeg. Before I get to the main topic, I will go through some definitions and then to the two questions that motivated our research, which will lead to two parts of the talk. One, talking about necessary and sufficient conditions for weak star continuity, and then expansion theorems and applications. Well, the first definition, I'm going to quickly go through the definition of the Fourier algebra, which you have seen in the last days. Probably today is the last day you will see the Fourier algebra. So in terms of notation, pi is a continuous integer representation of G, and lambda G is the left integer representation. The Fourier algebra is the algebra containing the coefficient functions of the left regular representation. Its dual is the von Neumann algebra, the von Neumann algebra generated by the left regular representation. The Fourier field is algebra, the algebra that contains coefficient functions of all continuous integer representations of G, and it is a dual space, it's a dual of a C-star algebra, its dual is the von Neumann algebra as well. The two algebras have a natural operator space structure as p-dual of von Neumann algebra, so we can talk about completely bounded maps between them. In addition to algebras associated to continuous integer representation, we can define some spaces called coefficient spaces associated to pi. And we denote with beta pi the closure of the span of the coefficient function generated by pi, which is pi, and it's going to fit in BFG. And then beta pi is the weak star closure in BFG. BFG sits inside BFG as an ideal, and when G is in the abelian case, the two Fourier algebra correspond to the L1 and the measure algebra. Now the second definition I want to give is the definition of a piecewise affine map, which is, will play an important role in the talk. First, an affine map. It's a continuous map defined on a coset. We fixed left. We talk about left coset in a locally compact group H, such that it satisfies that relation. So if you have two elements in E, this product sits in E, and then we have that relation. For example, if we fix an element and we take the multiplication with that from G to G, that's an affine map. Now, a piecewise affine map is a continuous map defined on a set, a subset of H, which is a union. It's a finite disjoint union of sets, Yi, which sit in the coset ring of H. Now, what we want is this alpha on this particular pieces can be extended to an affine map on certain cosets. So for each I, we can find an open coset ki that contains yi, and then a affine map on ki on the biggest coset, such that alpha coincides with this affine map on yi. Now this why do we like? This brings me to the first question. Why do we like piecewise affine maps? Because we can construct algebra homomorphisms, nice ones, from A of G into B of H in this way. Take a function in A of G and on Y, define phi alpha of U as U composed of alpha on Y and zero otherwise. Turns out this new function sits in B of H, precisely because alpha is piecewise affine. And what we get is not only a homomorphism, but it's also completely bounded. It's bounded and completely bounded. The following theorem says that actually for a large class, when G is amenable all completely bounded homomorphisms from AOG into BFH look like this. They are given by some piecewise assignment between the underlying groups. This, this theorem completes a body of work that was started in 1960s, the abelian case by Cohen, again as homomorphisms of L1 of G into M of H. So he succeeded in describing this in terms of p-size-defined maps on the dual groups, and later was continued by Lefranc and Host in the Fourier algebra case. However, when G was this still abelian and the maps were bounded, in my thesis, I expanded this result, taking into account the operator space structure on A of G, so considering completely bounded maps between A of G and B of H. And for G, discrete and amenable, I show we can get the same description. We finished this with Nikos Ponk. We arrived at a final result, the most general case is amenable, then all the completely bounded maps look like this. Well, this result motivates the next question, the natural question. Okay, what can we say about homomorphisms from B of G into B of H? Turns out this is not known even in the abelian case. So we decided, okay, let's concentrate maybe on a smaller class of homomorphism from B of G into B of H and see what can we say about those. So that leads me to the next question. Again, having the piecewise defined map, we can define in the same way a homomorphism from B of G, the bigger algebra, to B of H. And one simple example is the restriction map. If we consider alpha to be just the inclusion of G0 into G subgroup, then tri alpha is just the restriction map. One nice fact about this was proved by Becker, Knutlau, and Schlissing regarding the property of weak star continuity. This special map is weak star continuous if and only if alpha is an open subgroup. So even characterizing the weak star continuity for this special case. So we wondered, okay, what about more general, the case of star alpha? Are they weak star continuous? Are they always weak star continuous? If not, when? Turns out the two questions are related, and to answer the first question, we first need to answer this second question. So the first part of the talk, I'm going to talk about the weak star continuity. So a couple of examples of weak star continuous homomorphisms that are given by piecewise defined maps. For example, if we consider a closed normal subgroup, the Fourier algebra, and then the map from the Fourier algebra of the quotient space into BFH, actually, the notation BFH colon N will denote from now on functions that are constant on the coset of the subgroup you consider by composing with a quotient map. And of course the one I mentioned before, the restriction, when H is open, that's easily one can show this is continuous. Now it's not difficult to check that if we put the condition on alpha to be an open map, then what we get is going to be a weak star continuous homomorphism. The question was, is this, are these all? So is the converse true? Well, it turns out it is. So alpha is weak star continuous if and only if alpha is an open map. Now, I'll spend a few minutes to give you some idea of the proof. The proof goes in two steps, basically. First we prove for a group homomorphism, and then we put together the pieces for the case of the piecewise assignment. So we're assuming that alpha is a group homomorphism from H into G to alpha. We start continuous. We identify, we denote G0 as the closure of the image, and alpha 0, the map H into G0. The kernel is the same as N. The first thing is that we know this, that it's sufficient to prove that alpha 0 is an open surjection. And that is because our commutative diagram, that the important observation here is that phi alpha, defining that way, the image sits inside the algebra of B of G, a function constant on the coset of X. So it always sits there. So then we can go to the quotient space H over N, B free algebra on the quotient group. And then by, if we know alpha 0 is an open surjection, we have delta topological isomorphism, and we can get back to B of G0. And that, we end up with a restriction map that will be continuous by our assumption, and therefore, by the result of Baker-Kinney-Lorentz shifting, will give us that G0 is open, and then that's enough to follow alpha itself. So, we show that alpha 0 is an open surjection, and it's enough to assume it's one-to-one. But, again, because of one diagram, the same as I mentioned before with the quotient, the free algebra on the quotient space, we can reduce ourselves to the case of alpha n, which is one-to-one. I'm going to skip the technical details, just show the two steps where we use the weak star continuity. We show that the image of psi alpha is regular. We do that by looking at B of G as the space generated coefficient space of the omega, the universal representation. And we show it's weak star closed translation conjugation there separates the point of H, all hypotheses in a Baker-Lorentz shifting result, which implies that it contains A of H. Well, once we have that, we show the inverse map is continuous, which gives us that alpha of H is locally compact and therefore closed, and alpha is a topological isomorphism into G0, which ends the proof. So that would be the group case. Now, for the to finish the proof, we have to show if this is true. Alpha is open if it piecewise affine. We arrive at that conclusion using two lemmas. Basically, the first lemma says that the affine case is basically nothing is the same as the group case, because whenever we have an affinement, we can associate a group homomorphism in a simple way, and then that's not the problem. The second lemma, well, tells us that somehow the extensions, the homomorphisms we get from the affine extension, they behave in a nice way, in the sense that if the whole homomorphism which starts continuous, then this new one, this smaller, well, this new homomorphism obtained from the affine pieces are weak star continuous. So then we can restrict to those cases and apply the previous result. So basically, we show that homomorphism psi alpha given by piecewise affine maps are weak star continuous if and only if alpha is open. Now this result led us to actually to characterize some homomorphism from B of G to B of H. Now, to do that, we go through a detour. We look at extensions. We look at the extensions of homomorphism from A of G to B of G. When they exist, how can we define them? If they are unique, and when are they unique? Well, if the homomorphism of A of G into B of H is nice given by alpha, definitely we have the natural extension given by alpha to B of G. And we call that the canonical CD extension. So in the light of the theorem I mentioned before, if G is amenable and we have a complete binding homomorphism, definitely we have one, at least one extension, which is the canonical TV extension. Now, the question is, how does that relate to another extension, just an arbitrary extension? Well, it turns out that if we have an arbitrary extension of psi alpha, then the images into B of G, they coincide on Y. So psi of U restricted to Y is the same as psi alpha restricted to Y. What this gives us is unicity. If Y is equal to the whole H, then we have a unique extension to B of G. I would share the case, okay, the second statement, the converse, of course, is said that we have a unique, well, if Y is not equal to H, then that we don't have an extension like that. So the way we get that, we can define, if we assume Y is not equal to H, can define a complete bounded homomorphism in this way by taking a non-zero multiplicative functional on P of G that contains A of G. We're assuming G is non-compact. If G is compact, A of G and B of G are the same. So that's the extension thing is not it's zero. So if we define psi bar as the sum of psi alpha plus K delta, then here this is it's going to be completely bounded. It's going to extend psi, but it's not given by alpha. So this observation, this is a simple observation that relates to what I mentioned. If Y is it's the whole group, then we have the unique extension. There's one more case when we do have, when the Y obtained from A of G into B of H is the whole H. And that is when we have a completely bounded isomorphism. So the next theorem tells us just that, if psi is completely bounded isomorphism, then restrict to A of G, we get the alpha, and Y is Y is equal to H. Therefore, we get psi must be given by psi alpha. First corollary, it's a Walter type result. If we have, if psi is completely contracted isomorphism and it reaches the restart continuous from B of G to H, then using the Wigstar characterization, G and H are going to be topologically isomorphic. Now to get a little more of that, if we assume that H is amenable and B of G and B of H are completely isomorphic, which means also that the inverse is completely bounded, then we have a piecewise affine homomorphism H onto G with piecewise affine inverse. Now in terms of extensions, the next corollary tells us is that if we just start with a completely bounded isomorphism from A of G into A of H, it's going to extend canonically to a Wigstar continuous homomorphism from B of G onto B of H. And somehow the reverse is, the converse is H is amenable and we start the head from B of G into B of H with a complete algebra homomorphism, then it's going to be Wigstar continuous and we'll map A of G into A of H. Now that we can define other extensions which are not completely bounded. The previous one dealt with completely bounded extensions. Now, if we just take a bounded homomorphism, still assume G is amenable, then we can extend phi uniquely to a homomorphism on B of G, which is continuous. Now, as a map, of BFG with a topology, bounded multiplier topology into BFH with a weak star topology. This result is inspired by a similar result of Greenleaf in around 1965. He proved this for L1 of G and M of H, both locally compact groups. And in fact, this is it can be proved in a more general setting, A, a Banach algebra, I, a closed ideal, and B, a dual Banach algebra. And if we have a homomorphism from the ideal into the dual Banach algebra, what we need is a contractive bounded approximate identity to be able to extend it in this way, taking again the Riemann multiplier topology. What we get, the new map extension actually is given by this formula. It's a weak star limit of phi of u e delta, where the e delta is the bounded identity. I just want to say a few words about the proof. The idea is to show that, okay, the unicity comes from the density of the ideal in the algebra in this bounded multiplier topology. The fact that, and the important part is that phi of, if we take a bounded net converging to U, phi of U, V, delta has a unique limit point, and this limit point is given by, it's actually given by this, the limit point of this, of this net. Once we show that and we define the homomorphism, we have to check a few things, that it's bounded and it's a homomorphism and it's continuous and it all works out. Now, once we have that, we wonder what is the connection between this extension and the completely bounded one, the canonical completely CD extension. So if we start with a completely bounded algebra homomorphism with amenable G, then this the second extension actually agrees with the canonical CD extension. And somehow it proves that the canonical CD extension has this property. It's unique with respect to this topology. Well, having that in place, then it follows pretty easily that then we can characterize the homomorphism from BFG to BFH, which have this property that are continuous in these topologies. So if we have the continuity in the bounded multiplier topology and weak star topology respectively, then psi is given by a piecewise affine map in the regular way. If psi is weak star continuous, combining the previous result with the result on weak star continuous maps, we obtain a piecewise open map associated with alpha. So we have classified at least for a certain class when the homomorphisms look this nice. Now, in the last 5 minutes, I want to talk about homomorphisms from left uniform continuous function on F, the dual of the left uniform continuous function. This is a direction that we went into after, so again, inspired by Greenleaf's paper. What he does there, he actually describes the subgroups of the unit ball of M of G. Once you have a subgroup gamma, then you can associate to that a couple of things. A compact subgroup G, K, character of K, and I is rho mk is going to be the unit of the subgroup, and then a subgroup of the product group of the unit circle with T, omega. Omega is defined in these pairs such that measures of that form belong to gamma. Well, then all the subgroups can be described in this way, where Z, G are in a subgroup of the product group of the unit circle with G. So he used this fact to give a characterization of the homomorphism from L1 of F into M of G when F and G are locally compact groups, not abelian properties. For contractive homomorphism. So we use that the idea to define some maps. Once we have a subgroup of M of G and all these groups, one can define the following maps from LUC of G into LUC of G, LUC of X cross G, functions that are constant on the coset of omega 0. Omega 0 is the normal subgroup of omega. With that formula, then we can identify, we can build from the quotient LUC on the quotient space into here by composing the quotient with a quotient at pi. And by taking the composition of these previous two maps in this diagram, one gets a map from LUC of G into LUC of omega over omega 0. This is the quotient group. Now, it turns out that using this construction, we can characterize the non-decreasing homomorphisms from LEC F star into LEC G star, F and G locally compact groups, which have the property that sends L1 of F into M of G. Then, by which star is continuous, if and only if it actually sends M of F into M of G, the restriction is continuous. Well, strong operator topology and weak star continuous topology. I'm using the terminology of Greenleaf here. And we can actually describe the pre-dual map. The pre-dual map of phi is KL and is given by the diagram there, where theta is a continuous homomorphism in F. Between F and the quotient group omega over omega 0. We don't get quite homomorphism on the group G, but that's fine. It's just a product group. I'm not going to go through the proof, just to mention the key ideas. Again, we use this idea of extending uniquely the first statement there is just it's Greenleaf theorem, and then we prove that phi bar extends, continues to extend to a weak star continuous homomorphism between the duals of LUC and LUC. So we start to go into a new direction using these ideas of extensions and hopefully we can look at other algebras as well. Thank you.
So just following the last sentence you said, looking at other algebras, one that is very natural since you study the Fourier algebra and Fourier series algebra, the first one here is
UCB, yes. Yes, we have worked on that on the thing, and it seems to work
for amenable G.
Yes, because we have BG, B, and H, and then we can extend it to the dual of that using the embedding map of B of G into UCBG star somehow, but for that, we need both G and H to be amenable.
Yeah.
But recently, Ross and I think we got rid of the H amenable condition using the other embedding, low and light. It has B, rho, G. It doesn't need amenability in for H. So it's. Oh, right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's a bit in a different. In a different direction. Yeah.
So you mostly consider a amenable case. If
yes.
Not amenable, have you thought about considering two CD modulators?
That.
Not
no, I haven't tried that yet, but it's definitely interesting, but it seems more, yeah, difficult, I'd say.